Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. Let's read that together. John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18 together. And let's read it out loud together. When you get there, say amen. I'm going to read from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you would, I'm just going to walk back through a few scriptures just to highlight. If you would, turn over to James chapter 2, if you would, and we're all going to start starting at verse 14, James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 14, or start there. And we've been expressing or highlighting, we've been looking at the subject of faith, the faith that takes. And while you're there, I'm going to read Mark 11, 23. I'm going to start there and just read that, Mark 11, 22 and 23. And it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. My margin says, have the faith of God. And of course, some of the commentaries will say that the Greek translation of that can also mean have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. And so what's followed here, if Jesus said have faith in God, then we can have it. He wouldn't tell us to have something if we couldn't. And now he follows, what comes after that is an explanation of what the faith of God is, or the God kind of faith. And it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So we can see here from Scripture what Jesus is sharing is that the God kind of faith, verse 23, is saying something. That's not prayer. But verse 24 is prayer. And so the God kind of faith is believing in your heart, saying with your mouth things that you believe in your heart, and that you will have the things that you say. And verse 24 is believing the things that you pray. But you're still going to have to say something when you pray. So we can see here these two things, and I like the this particular book. I brought it book that Mark Hankins' ministry put out. And some of the various translations express have no hesitation in your heart. You entertain, this is the Berkeley translation, you entertain no inner doubt. Not entertaining inner doubt. The Weymouth translation has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen. It shall be granted him. Not staggering, the Dewey Reams, it says, not staggering in your heart. But I like the Johnson translation. It says, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So that means when we speak something in faith, we are not to become separated from that statement of faith. What does that mean? I was listening to something the last few days, they were selling it on the table here when the Living Faith Crusade was here, and it was called The God Kind of Faith. And it was actually Kenneth E. Hagin. This was years and years and years and years and years ago. But he made a statement in there. He said, when he got off the bed of sickness, he made this statement. He said, P.C. Nelson, who was a minister of the gospel many, many, many years ago, and I believe said he was from the Assembly of God, started in the Southwestern University and so forth, said more people lose their healing because of a secondary attack. And this came from just observing it, experiencing it. So Brother Hagin said this, I almost lost my healing getting off the bed of sickness. You know, we hear how he got off, he talked about it. He never talks much about how he almost lost it. And he said what happened was that he had been confessing the word of God, but he grew up in this town, the little country town, and they'd say, I see you got up. How are you doing? And he said, I'm doing okay. And then they'd say, how's your heart doing? And he said, well, it's bothering me. He got separated from his confession of faith. And he said whenever he'd bump into somebody, they'd say, how you doing? And he'd say, I'm doing all right. How's your heart doing? And he'd make a negative confession. And he said the more he did that, the weaker he got. And he'd get to the place where he was exhausted. And he'd have to go home and lay down. He was so tired. And then he said, I'm missing it somewhere. God never misses it. He said, it must be me. What's going on here? And the Lord began to reveal to him and show him that his confession was wrong. See, it was contrary to what he believed. So the next time somebody said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing great, doing fine, everything's fine. How's your heart? Everything's fine, everything's great. And he changed it, and he said when he started changing it, he got stronger. And he said, one person said, you sure do look weak. You don't look like you can make it home. And he was walking. He said, no, I don't need a ride. I'm good. And he said, I walked home. And he said, I felt great by the time I got home. See, so he didn't become separated from his confession of faith. He didn't say one thing and say something else. You see, we need to keep that confession of faith based on what we believe. If we believe we're healed, then that's our confession of faith. Does that hook up with everybody? Now, let's get back over there. I know you're there. I turned away. Let's go to James, and let's look at James chapter 2, and let's look at verse 14, starting in verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So in other words, faith without works is dead. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils do what? Also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. Let me read this last verse, this verse 26 and a few other translations. This particular translation, it says, as the lifeless body is dead, so faith without actions is dead. If you remove this spirit out of this body, if my spirit left my body, it would fall like a heap on this ground. Right? But with the spirit in the body, the spirit expresses itself, what? Through the body. So actions express your faith. Your actions express what you believe. Brother Hagin used to say this, faith's confessions create realities. Or you could say it another way, confession brings possession. Confession precedes possession. So there has to be an action before possession, and not just confession. This is God's Word translation. A body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. So faith has to do something. When there's a conviction or an assurance of something, there has to be an action in order for the power of God to be released in that setting. This is the Message translation. The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. That means it's dead. Does it not? The New Century Version, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Faith that does nothing is dead. See, you could say, I believe, but if you do nothing, it's dead. See, give you a simple example. You could say, I believe in marriage, but if you don't get married, that believing's dead. There's no action. Is that true? You could say, I believe I'm going on a trip, but if you don't get on the plane and go, if you don't buy the ticket, that's just all talk. That faith is dead, you see. So there's some things, you know, people will say, well, I'm waiting on God. But there's some things we don't wait on, things that have already been given to us. We don't wait to be saved, do we? Because why? Legally, every person that ever was, will, is, and will be has been saved. They've already been saved. That's what we're here to do, is to tell them that they are. And then when they receive that by faith, they have to do something, just like we did. And when we do, the power of God is activated, and that becomes a reality. Same thing with healing. Every person that ever was, is, and will be has been healed of every sickness that ever was or will be. He became sin for us, so we don't have to wait to be healed. When conviction and confidence comes for that, what do? We reach out and take it and believe, and then do what? Do something. That's why you always hear us say, do something you couldn't do before. Now, that does not mean just because you have confidence, you throw away your medicine. Now, you may say that sounds contradictory, but the Bible says that we're to believe what the written word of God is and also what he directs us to do. We're to be led, those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So faith, this action that we have, must be motivated or directed by our convictions. In other words, that's what faith is. It says, faith is the substance, it's the conviction of things that I am expecting. It's a ground that I can step on and walk on or expect to support my expectations. That makes sense? So real faith has an action. When you look at this word, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works. That word works means an action or a deed, something done. It's an action. So when there's an action, that means real faith is an action. It does something. So real faith does something. If we're just talking about what we believe, that's not real faith. That's just talk. What did it say? The devils believe and tremble. I'm not calling you a devil, but it's just saying the devils believe, but if we just say we believe and there's no action, then it's just talk. It's just believing and no action. It says believing without an action is dead. Amen. So faith that is real, or a living faith, expresses itself in this realm in what it does. Just like your spirit expresses itself in this realm through our body. Your spirit gives life to this body. And so the word of God is put where? In your spirit. Where does faith reside? In your spirit. And faith is expressed through this body by what? Our spirit. So faith without works, faith without an action is dead. And we can see that in Scripture. I'll highlight these because we're going to jump somewhere else. But if you look at in Matthew 12, you can just write this reference down. This is Jesus speaking to the man with the withered hand. He said, do something. What did he say? He said, then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. He said, stretch it forth. And what happened? And it was restored. But if he hadn't done something, see, he would have never received something. He had to stretch it forth. He had to take it. He had to believe that Jesus wanted to heal him. And the same thing. This is a familiar story, the woman with the issue of blood. She had an issue 12 years. And she did what? Suffered many things of many physicians. And spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him. She did something. She left her residence. She got out and she did something. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So she confessed something. But she also did something. And straightway, what happened? The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And, you know, when you think about this, if you look at in the Gospels, when it uses the term multitude, this wasn't just a small group of people. Jesus, when it said he fed the multitude, was talking about at least 5,000. So it doesn't say how many here, but it wasn't a small group of people. If this was a multitude, it could have been 1,000 or 2,000 people. You think about Jesus, just think about here. We seat about 2,800 people here. Can you imagine just a throng of people and Jesus is in the center and you've got to get to him? You're going to push through some folk. This isn't, part the ways here and let me just walk through. This said she had to press her way through. We don't know how, but she muscled her way through. And you think about it, in their culture, she said she had what? An issue of blood. That means that there was a constant bleeding. You might call it in the terms here some type of menstrual thing where this was just a constant bleeding. In her culture and society, she was unclean, constantly unclean. So she was basically a social and religious outcast. So for her to even get out and go and do something, she put herself at risk to be stoned. So you can see here, this woman was going to get something. She did something. Amen. And when you look at it, what did Jesus say? He said, and he said to her, verse 34, daughter, thy what? Faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So her faith here in this story, she did something. It wasn't just her saying, I'm going. She got up and did something. And did what? If I touch his garment, I'll be whole. Because why? She had heard of Jesus. So she already knew his will was to heal. And I'm going to touch him. So you can see here that she didn't wait for God to come to her. She went to him. And when you think about this, I know you know all of this, but it's good to reflect and meditate on it. When Jesus said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, he didn't say, the Lord's anointing healed you. He didn't say, the Lord's power healed you. He didn't say, God healed you. And yet all of that was at work. The anointing did heal her. The power of God did heal her. But Jesus emphasized that it was what? her faith that made her whole. And yet all of those things were true. It was the anointing that healed her. It was the power of God that healed her. But he didn't emphasize that here in this story. He said her faith made her whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we don't have to wait for those things that God has promised to take. We don't have to wait. She initiated it. She acted, and what happened? She received. She initiated it. So her action activated the power of God. That's why sometimes, and let's jump over, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to take a look at that for a moment. But just as we're talking, I'm thinking about here, when our faith activates something that's given, the power of God, even something as where Paul writes, so we're sharing this morning in prayer, where Paul is writing to in the book of Ephesians, he's writing here, I'm just going to read this, you can turn to Hebrews 11, but Ephesians chapter 1, and he talks about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's us. And Paul prayed that they would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. You see, when we start to pray that and confess that over our lives and believe for that, it causes the power of God to be activated in our lives and release that. Amen. Doing something. Now, let's take a look at, I wanted to take a look at Hebrews 11 and look at, since we call this the great faith chapter, right? Let's look at what those did, those that are mentioned in here. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel did what? He did something. He offered. He did something. He just didn't believe God to bring an offering. He did something. He brought an offering. He brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and did what? He prepared an ark. He did something. So faith, he could have heard God and said, yeah, I know it. Yeah, I know it's coming, and not prepared an ark, and he would have been doomed. See? So he prepared an ark. He did something. And verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and stayed there. No, he said he obeyed and did what? He went out not knowing. So he did something. He put some action to his believing, his faith. Faith without works is dead. And it continues, by faith he sojourned. So that means he's doing something in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, verse 11, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. She received what was spoken to her. Amen. She could have said, I don't believe that. I don't receive it. But she believed, and the power of God was released, and she received seed. Hallelujah. Let's jump over to verse 17, I'm sorry. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, as the book of Genesis said, or tried, offered what? He offered up Isaac. He did something. He offered him up. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Look at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He did something. There was an action. I'm just walking through, we take a look at this. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was what? Was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's being convinced, isn't it? That's being assured. So their faith, their conviction, they acted. And so what we're really saying here is that faith without a corresponding action is dead. You know, I had them get me a glove. This glove has no life in it, does it? It just, but, right? But if I stick my hand in this glove, right, this now has life, it has expression, right? But if I take my hand out of this, it's dead. It's nothing. So our faith, if it's faith alone, is dead. There has to be a corresponding action. There's got to be some action with our faith. And for me, every time that I've been convinced about something, I'm not talking about convinced here. I'm talking about a conviction down here. When I know that I know that I know. I remember one of the things was that the Lord spoke to me and said, quit my job and come work here. Well, that was a big step because I had a very good job with the company that I was working with. I'd been there a number of years. I was up in what I would call upper management. I made a good salary. And then he said, come work here. And he said, I didn't ask him how much they were going to pay me here. But you better know. See, you better know what God tells you to do. So when I came here, I had to walk through some things. But I was convinced of what God had told me. So I didn't waver. And when you're not convinced, you can waver. And so I stuck to it. When I came, things were shifted around. It didn't turn out. I'll tell you, I was ready. I mean, folks were saying, hey, when I left, VPs were telling me, come back. I'm serious. I'd reported to some directly to VPs and so forth. So they said, hey, if you ever want a job, you can come. If it don't work out, come right back. Well, I'll tell you, my first few months, it sure looked that way. It wasn't working out. I don't need to get into all the details of the whys, but when I first started, I started in a particular position, and the pastors felt that wasn't working out, and they cut my salary in half again. So it was poquito. You know what that means? Very small. And so I had to make a choice at that point, quit or stay. I did, and it was that because there was no way in the natural with the money that I was receiving, I couldn't cover all my expenses. I couldn't. In the natural, I could not cover all my expenses. So for 1 year, I supplemented it with what I had saved. you got to make some choices. I don't mean to get into all of that, but the point is I had a choice to make. And everybody is going to walk through life, and there's going to be a hard place that you're going to have to make a choice, yes or no. And you better have heard from God, and you better be convinced. And that conviction has to have an action. Now, I'd like to say that my action to stay just turned it all around. No, it didn't. And it took a while. But God was watching. Are you going to be faithful? You going to stick it out? And I did. I said, no. God told me to come. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to be faithful. And that's what I did. I just stayed steady. Because there were things that I don't know. See, that's sometimes, you know, God may say, go work at this job. And he's like, this is like hell on earth. Forget this. Why am I going there? But you have no idea what God may have you doing in that setting and the impact of your life in that setting. And it may not unfold all at once, you see. So, again, faith has to have this corresponding action. You know, and I say that there are times in all of our lives, and I can think of a number of situations that I was confronted with in life that I had to make a choice. I remember I was working, I decided because I just said, you know, I can't, in the natural, I can't live on just one income. And also be drawing from my savings, which I had accumulated. And so I decided to get a second job. And I did. So I'm juggling all of this. I'm working here. I'm running out, going and doing a second job, and all of that. And so as I'm at this second job, I hear down here in my spirit, now I don't want you to work this second job. I want you to come to Wednesday night Bible study. And I'm going, truly, this cannot be God. Are you kidding me? How am I going to make ends meet? And I knew it was him. And it kept stirring. And the more I kept on that second job, it was like sawdust. It just didn't feel right. So I just said, okay, I hear you. I'm coming. So I quit and came here. And I thank God because those are the things that will develop maturity and growth in your faith. That you heard him, you obeyed, and so he's going to perfect that in you, and he's going to meet the things that you need to have done. You see? He'll give you the wisdom. So he knows more about things that he's trying to develop in you than you do. Sometimes we're trying to take shortcuts in faith, and it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Amen? So, what am I saying with all of this? We're saying here that, let's look at one more scripture before we close. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And you can jump down, and we'll jump down to verse 17. It says, Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, As it is written, I have made thee, this is God speaking to him, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So his faith considered, being not weak in faith, he did what? He considered not his own body. In other words, he didn't consider the circumstances of him being 100 years old. He didn't consider it. And verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, or we could say doubt, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. See, this is faith talking here. Faith is being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was written to him, but for what? For us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. So we can see here that Abraham staggered not. He did something. He staggered not at the promise of God when he was asked by God to offer up his only son. He didn't stagger. He was fully persuaded that God would raise him from the dead. So in our own lives, faith without an action is dead. We can't, when we say faith, you say, well, I do believe, okay? But if you are believing and you're still in the same situation year after year after year after year after year, we need to take an assessment. We need to say, am I in faith or am I just believing? Because faith without an action is dead. You could just be believing and it's dead. Does that make sense to anybody? I believe such and such, but what are you doing? That is causing that faith to work. Faith without works. What are you doing? And as we've said, when it comes to things where our body is concerned, what we're not saying is for people to throw out their medicine, because we've had that and people have died because they have taken and said, okay, I believe I'm healed, I'm throwing it in the garbage. And if your faith, your conviction is not there to support something that's going to confront your body, you're going to have a problem. And so I know for me, I'll just share a little from my standpoint. I had to learn something. A number of times I had believed God, the supernatural power of God healed my body. Touched it, I felt it, and it drove it out. And then I got into a situation where I had been really, in the natural, abusing some things from a dietary standpoint. And, you know, if we're not balanced with some things, we can get our body into a situation that's not healthy. And that's where I was. But I said, okay, I believe God. And I stood that way for a year, one whole year. And things were not getting better. And I began to, in my mind, in my heart, saying, I'm missing it somewhere. Something is not right. And I was in such pain that I would go down, and when I was singing in the choir, anybody knows if you put pressure here, when you're singing, you're pushing. This was so inflamed down here, it was like fire. And I couldn't sleep at night. It was excruciating pain, not just uncomfortable. It was excruciating. And so I'm saying all of this to say that when I came home from a vacation, I'm in the shower, and I heard the Spirit of God say very softly, it wasn't da-da-da-da, I'm in the shower, and I heard this, my mind is quiet, I heard him say, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. That was July. That's only a few months. And so you would think that I would have acted. But I didn't, because I said, I believe God for my healing. And it finally, after 2 weeks, it dawned on me, that was the Holy Ghost, fool. He knows something that you don't know, and you better go get it checked. So I did. And so the long and short of that was that I had some dietary corrections, and within 2 weeks, this all inflamed started to go down, and within 6 months, it was gone. Dietary. And I asked this doctor, and he was a nutritionist, I said to him, how bad was this? He said to me, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened your stomach up. And when he said that, I knew it. I said, right there. Once they open you up, it would have gone. And I'd have been dead. So there are things that you need the Word of God. And I'm not telling anybody not to stand when they're faced with something tough. I'm not saying that. But you also need God's direction, because he knows where your faith is. He knows what kind of confidence you have. But we can all grow. I learned some things out of that. I learned after that, that happened in 2000, when we started the Bible study classes. Here in 2008, I was eating right, doing everything right, still getting my rest. And I was sitting back by the sound booth. I don't know, I don't remember who was teaching, probably Pastor Greg or maybe Pastor Sarah. And I was sitting back there, and I got in the back of my head, a pressure hit here, and it was like, whoa, what on earth is this? And I could hardly see. I had to get up and walk and steady myself. And I held onto the wall walking down that back hallway. And I said, in Jesus' name, I command this to leave my body now. There was such a knowing and a conviction here, not fear. I said, I know this. I said, you get out of my body in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, my body functions normally, and I resist this in Jesus' name. And I did that for 3 days, and just on the third day, it left. It just cleared up. Now, am I telling anybody to do that? No. But I had an assurance down here. There was an absolute assurance and no fear, no doubt. So what I'm saying is you need to be led by the Spirit of God, but also build faith like a mighty foundation so that when the floods come and the winds blow against you, that you're not shaken. Am I telling you not to take medicine? No, I'm not telling you to do that at all. If you need to go to the doctor, go. But at the same time, feed on this. Keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding, because the healing power of God is at work in your body, affecting a healing and a cure in your organs. It was like Jessica Warwick when she was here. She shared that she went to healing school every day for 2 years out at Rhema when she was going. She wore a pump to inject insulin in her body. And her organs are now working. They're working, they're working, they're working. Her dad said, well, her pancreas just start working. I said, they don't just start working. But the word will drive out sickness and disease and make your organs work. Did she stop taking that her medicine initially? No. But she's not using a pump now. So use what you need to keep you here in this earth, but keep the Word of God active. Keep feeding on it. And then at some point, God will say, you don't need that anymore. Take it out. Get rid of it. Right? Glory to God. So what do we say? Faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen. Faith is an act. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we look at our own lives and we look at those areas that we need to strengthen. Feed upon your word to strengthen and to expand the faith that we have and develop the faith in areas that we're still growing in. And Father, we thank you that if we've reached a certain place in life, we're going to reach higher and reach for things that seem impossible to us and begin to believe you for bigger and greater. In the name of Jesus. For without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we thank you, Father, that great, great is our faith. We believe and we reflect, Father, on the prophecy that Kenneth Copeland gave to this church. He said, this is a mighty church. And that means that this is mighty in faith. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are mighty in faith. Glory to God.